Well, we have a great number with us on this Lord's Day, and we are excited to be able to worship God this morning, and it's been a good worship service. Before I begin with my thoughts, I want to mention we have a lot of Edwardses here. I don't know why all of you here are here except for this little bitty anniversary, 60 years for Gail and Pat. That's incredible. And we're so thankful for them and for the blessing they are. And we have a lot of their family in to celebrate. I think they celebrated last night, and then they're going to do some more today. And so we are thankful for them and their family. We are going to celebrate another little anniversary today. 10 years for me and Amanda, not of being married, but of being at Seven Oaks. And we're so thankful for you. And today we're going to be talking about that in this morning's lesson. Tonight will be a normal lesson. We'll be talking about Christ and the church, finishing up our great couples. But then we want to invite all of you to a meal that we prepared in honor and thanksgiving for you and all that you've done for us in the 10 years that we've been here. And we hope that you can come and be a part of that this evening. We understand some people have obligations and it's holidays and things. Not everybody can make it, but if you can make it, we want to invite you to that as well. Do you remember this? How many of you remember this? Who is the new preacher? November the 17th, 2003, I put that on the screen. And it's no longer new.
Who is the new preacher? Gavin, if you'll turn off the lights, I want to show a few pictures. We put this slide up next. Now, I know that Amanda, I think, even wore hair about the same today, so you could tell that there's really no difference in Amanda from then and now, even four kids later. But me, there is a slight difference. I don't know if it's you or the four kids, but I've aged a little bit in 10 years. But that's the, we grew, and you can leave that light on a little bit. I don't want people to see me. I'm going to turn it on off. They'll all go to sleep fast. I've been here 10 years. I know that. We had met at Fried Harmon and had spent 4 years I had preaching at Rome's Creek and then came here. Now, I want you to know we were determined to help this church grow, as the next picture reflects. 4 kids later, and we're so thankful for each of those children. Austin's 9. He was born in 2004, soon after we came here. And then, of course, the others have been born each year. And Caleb, the last one, born last year in 2012. Another picture of them. Also, we picked up and added a set of grandparents coming here. Dick and Ann Watson have become like an extra set of grandparents to us, and we love them and appreciate them so much. My in-laws are here today. Dave and Loretta Carson, and they've been so great, and I appreciate them so much. And my parents weren't able to make it over, but I appreciate them. And then we also have married one of Amanda's sisters who was in, I spared Ashley. She was also in one of the first photos in 2003, and there wasn't, not a lot of difference either, Ashley, but I didn't want the church to be able to pick on you as a, she was 20 at that time. And she's now married west and come here as well. So a lot of changes have taken place in 10 years. This is a picture from 2006, the Day of Remembrance at 7th and College, when the last Sunday that we officially celebrated the end of that facility and talked all about what it meant. That's a picture from that. And I've changed a little bit from that picture even. And I want to say something about this picture. This is the last picture I'm going to show. But this is from June 16, 2006. And this is the Day of Remembrance we held at 7th and College. And I want you to look at the men in that picture. Those were the former elders and elders at that time who were present that day. And I believe Brother Hilton, of course, was installed as an elder that day, I believe, and served as an elder for several years here, and in the last a year to 2 years, I believe, or stepped down from that role. And then, of course, Brother Boyd and Brother Russell and Brother Foy had all not been serving as an elder when I came. They were not elders, but had all served in years past, and all were very influential upon me. And of course, all of those men have gone on to be with the Lord in the last 10 years as well. And I appreciate so much these men in that picture. And of course, to Hilton and to the four men, Don, Joel, Bridges, and Larry, these men have influenced me and meant so much to me. Their partnership, the ability that they have of encouraging me and loving me and my family and accepting us and also respecting us and also working together so well. I appreciate their spiritual direction. I appreciate their stand for truth and their guidance over the years and their vision. And so I appreciate these men so much. I'll let you decide if they've aged any since that picture 7 years ago. All right, Gavin, you can turn the lights back on now. We want to share one thing I wanted to say too, looking at my notes, is that
I wanted to mention how much I appreciate Amanda. And to stay at a church for 10 years, some of you may think, what's the big deal? You know that most preachers don't stay at a church this long. West Kentucky is kind of an anomaly because it has several congregations that have preachers that have been there for numerous years. And I think traditionally this is changing. We're seeing preachers stay at churches longer, and I think that's good. But I think it says a lot about the congregation to be able to work through problems well. I think it says a lot about the preacher and his family, and that's one reason why I wanted us to celebrate today and to offer Thanksgiving. And I tell you, one of the big factors in us being able to stay is because of Amanda and her support, her love, and her ability to work well with the church, and I appreciate her so much. If you didn't get to read the front of the bulletin article, please do that. It's not from the desk of Josh Ketchum. It's from the heart of Amanda Ketchum. I wanted to share some statistics with you. You may will hopefully find these interesting. There's 817 sermons generally. I counted up. I'm sure I might have missed some, but 817 sermons that I preached. Now, at the end, I'm going to pass out a test to see how many of those you remember. I'll give you the first one later on, but then after that, you got to go with the second one forward. Of course, I'm teasing. It's not about remembering the sermons. I long ago gave up that hope. I don't remember most of the sermons. But it's about the change that the sermons bring and that the Word of God brings in our life as we incorporate them into our life. And hopefully your life has been blessed by some of those sermons and that we have grown to be more like Jesus through those sermons. And may they be sermons that continue to bear fruit from the Word of God. There has been, what I counted up, 91 baptisms. And so we're thankful for each baptism. We, of course, want more baptisms and hope that we'll have more baptisms in the future. Much of this is just a reflection not only on my ministry, but upon the church's ministry. And I think it's going to be encouraging overall. 68 funerals that I've conducted. We've had more funerals that I haven't conducted, but generally 68 funerals in that time period. Many of the people that I've had a part in remembering them at their funerals were people that I loved and that shaped my life, and that more importantly, still continue to shape this church and who we are standing upon their shoulders. And so we remember many of those. As I looked over this, I thought about so many that have gone on. And I'll say that more in a moment and make that point. 9 weddings. This is what I was just talking about. This is amazing. I counted up, the 2001 directory was the directory that Amanda and I used to kind of learn the faces, and I kind of going on my memory, kind of basically went off of using that as kind of a guide. Who was here in 2003? Roughly there was about 191 families in that directory. Based upon my memory and what we have now, 100 of those family units, maybe in a widow lady, might have been a family of kids, whatever, but 100 of those are gone or changed. Now, in some ways, that's discouraging, but I think it shows us about the life of the church at that point and about how many people were getting very older
and the demographics of the church. And also shows you that all churches are an organism that are constantly changing. Now notice this statistic. In the 2013 directory, which doesn't include many of our visitors that are already coming and things like that, maybe some of you even, there were approximately 80 family units that are not listed in the 2001 directory. In other words, it's a safe statement to say that the church has changed 50% of the people in 10 years. Now, just thinking about that, think about how many of you weren't involved with the Seventh College Church 10 years ago. Of course, you also have a lot of changes in terms of some of those that were kids, now grew up and have gotten married, now have their own families. Also, there's been a tremendous change in the demographics. We were prominently an older, graying church, as it said, but now are shifting more to where there's more young people and more children and things of that nature, which is why we're expanding classes and doing that. And so one of our primary goals that the elders have set over the past 10 years was to try to change the church demographics. Larry Knight said the quote when we were looking at talking about building and going through all of the capital fundraising and stuff, he said we must basically, it comes down to is what Gary Chambly told us, and Larry put it in short phrase, we can either stay and die or go and grow. There's been a lot of truth to that, and I think those statistics reflect that we're seeing much growth, and we're thankful for that and the changes. But we're also sad to think about all those who have gone on and who have gone to be with the Lord, or maybe those who have left the Lord and are still living, or those who have moved away. We have many college kids or high school kids that have grown up here but now are living off somewhere, and we miss them. Some key calendar events I wanted to share over the 10-year history, and I hope this is encouraging as well. In 2005, we did the campaign and the building project was begun. The Hispanic ministry was established with Rudy coming to Mayfield, and Ryan came. Of course, and all the great work that Ryan has done, and him marrying Jeannie, and the great work of our youth group, Ryan said, and someone may have some other statistic, but what me and him think is that he's the longest active serving youth minister that this church has had, of 8 years now. Ryan's been here as a youth minister, and we're thankful for that, and his good work, and his dedication. But he came in 2005 and 2006. We moved into this facility, had our first worship in July 16th, and then we began the Saplings preschool program. 2008, we went to El Salvador and took 8 men back and built the La Cruz building, and that really is kind of when all the El Salvador work began and all that's come out of that. We also experienced the bus crash, which was a tragedy and caused the loss of life of Miss Linda Stem and affected our church. And also Ladies' Night began in 2008. In 2009, we had a Bible school drive and other activities in 2009. 2010 was a difficult year. We had several people really battling cancer. We also had an abnormal number of deaths, and those that were very close and some that died very too young. And 2010 was a tough year for our church family. Though it ended with a high note, with us paying off our building debt in November of 2010. In 2012, we had the 10th anniversary of our Giveaway Day ministry. And in 2013, we announced our building expansion in September this year, and talking about adding on about 4,000 more square foot out back off this the rear of the building. And that's going to be happening very soon into 2014, Lord willing. And our attendance is continuing to climb. We have a great attendance here today. If you look at our statistics, in 2006 when we moved in here, we were running about 231 on average in worship. And then in 2013, we're averaging about 280 in worship. One of the things you need to keep in mind there too is that really over the last, most of that growth has come in the last 3 years, where we've increased almost 10 a year the last 3 years. And so we're thankful for that. I want to offer some words of thanksgiving. I'm so thankful, first of all, for my family, and I've already expressed that, and I appreciate my kids and their influence and their help.
and of course Amanda and my extended family. I've already mentioned the elders, but we appreciate them so much and their leadership, the staff, Ryan and Sheila. I've spoken about Ryan, but I also appreciate Sheila and her work as treasurer and secretary. And what she does for our church family is often not seen, but we appreciate it so much. And then, of course, our family, the church family. Let me say that you are like our family. And I often think and quote what I said to Joseph and what he often said to me, that when Joseph was baptized, that you have a family now. You have a family now. And you guys are our family, and we love you and appreciate you. And I know I think it was when we were coming back from Gatlinburg this year, we got back in town in time on Sunday evening. I wasn't going to be preaching and what didn't have to be here. But we wanted to come here because we are most comfortable and enjoy coming to be with you because you're like our family. And so we appreciate you so much. Also, I'm thankful for the growth and the transformation that we've seen in individuals. What's exciting is not thinking about numbers that have changed, but it's thinking about individuals that have changed. Thinking about some that weren't very involved at all in the church, but now are Christians and growing in their faith and have leadership potential. What's exciting is seeing marriages that are stronger or children that are growing up, learning more about God and developing their faith. To see the growth in our youth group or the growth in individuals, that's what is encouraging and what we offer thanks for. I've already mentioned the departed saints, but we're so thankful for all those who've made a difference in our lives, and many of those are not even here at this time. And then I'm thankful for all the good memories and the labors together. It's been some good times. From the trips on the mission field, I used to go on more mission trips before we had our kids, but those are some great memories. And all the working we've done around here, I appreciate all those good memories. And thank you for the encouragement and the support from the emails, the texts, the remarks after the sermons. I appreciate that lesson, or that was a good lesson, or I appreciate your study on this, or the thoughts related. That encouragement is what keeps a preacher getting back in the office and studying and making up a lesson for the next week, because Sundays come every week. And then the patience and the respect, I want you to know that if I've wronged you, I want you to forgive me. I know that I have not been perfect and our family's not perfect. And we love and appreciate your forgiveness and your patience. And we appreciate your forgiveness over time. And then your love and your peace. We're blessed because Seven Oaks is a church that's good to preachers. You're not nitpicky. You're not always expecting things that we can't give. You have realistic expectations. And so we appreciate your love and your peace. Some reflection. There's hills and valleys over time. In your family, in our family, in the church family, there's going to be high times and low times. The key is maintaining faith in God through the high times as well as through the low times, and keeping our faith. We have accomplished much as a church over 10 years. But our greatest work is yet in the future. In some ways, if you think about what I was suggesting, that much of the work that the eldership and much of the work that I and Ryan and others see and the deacons see have seen over the last 10 years has to do in some way with changing the demographics and building back a strong church that can then go forward in the future. Much of that has been done. Now it is time to go forward with all the potential and the possibility in the future. We must continue and we must start to dream big and to think about what can be done and to imagine the possibilities. We must realize that God creates the waves. It is up for us to ride them. In other words, God is constantly opening up doors of opportunity. It's up for us to walk through them. It's up for us to be dedicated and servant and to be willing to do what God asks us to do. We must be willing to work. And then, as I've often said, as we've used as our rallying cry throughout the 2005 building campaign, and as we've talked throughout various challenges,
Nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. Nothing happens until God's people step out in faith. And then we have to do more as a church to win souls, to strengthen marriages, and equip our children. One of the greatest struggles we still have, and that we've had over 10 years, is the struggle that Satan has with marriages and with the home. We must continue to work to encourage, to strengthen, and to build up our homes, to fortify our marriages, and to strengthen and equip our children to face the world today. We want our children to leave faithful. We want them to stay faithful. We also must win more souls. The purpose of being saved is to save others. We must be evangelistic. So everything we do, as we've been preaching and talking about for years, everything we must do must have evangelism and the lost at its core. From teaching in our Bible classes, to giveaway day, to mission work, to whatever we do, we want to be making it evangelistic, reaching the lost. And so remember this statement I heard this week. There's no secret to what creates a great church. Great churches are made by great Christians. If you want to be in a great church, and I believe Seven Oaks is a great church, and here's why Seven Oaks is a great church. It's not because of the preacher. It's not even because of the elders. Those are factors. But Seven Oaks is a great church because it has great Christians. And it's only going to continue to be a great church if the Christians in it are great. Great churches are made of great Christians. As I bring all this to a close, 10 years ago I preached this sermon. And I don't have time to preach it as I did then in length, but I wanted to give a few thoughts from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Notice Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father. We must always be basing what we do in prayer, humble dependence upon the Father in prayer. We cannot do anything on our own. We must do whatever we do through the prayers and based upon our trust in God. Filter everything through prayer. That he would grant, these are the petitions we still want to be granted, strength through the Spirit, that we'll be strengthened in our inner man, that we'll allow Christ to dwell in our hearts, and Christ will be magnified in our lives, and that we will be rooted and grounded in love, that we'll love one another more, and that we'll be more established in love, and love for Christ and love for one another. And then number four, that we'll know the height, the width, and the depth of the love of Christ. You see, that is our prayer. That was my prayer 10 years ago. That's my prayer today as well. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about this. We can imagine some pretty incredible things. We can ask God some pretty incredible things in prayer. But here's what this verse says. That God can do exceedingly abundantly. Now, I want to illustrate that the way I did years ago. That's like when you go in to Baskin Robbins and you ask for one scoop and he gives you one scoop, but he reached down and piles on a little extra and piles it all around. It's an exceeding abundantly more than what you thought you were going to get when you ordered that one little scoop. You see, you got an abundance. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, Paul is saying God can do far greater things with our lives, specifically the church here, than we have ever imagined or asked. When I preached that 10 years ago, I said and I read these things, and I want to read them again. I want you to notice how they've been accomplished through prayer. We can reach a whole segment of a population in Mayfield through a Hispanic ministry. We can reach out to our own friends and neighbors. We can complete the vision set forth by the elders of a new building facility. We can grow in service and Bible knowledge. The youth group can increase in size and devotion. The church can break through the 300 number barrier. And the church can have influence around the world in saving the lost. Think about over 10 years, how many of those things have come about because of prayer, and because of service, and because of word. Praise God. Be thankful to God for that. That's encouraging. But now we need to set more goals and set bigger dreams and continue to develop these things that we've planted so that they can continue to bring fruit. You see, God can do exceedingly abundantly. But we must always remember, and as we close, verse 21, where Paul would say in verse 21, and I think it's such an important passage to close on, especially on today, where Paul says, "To him be glory in the church." The glory doesn't go to an individual. The glory doesn't go to a leader. The glory doesn't go to some other board or group or man-made institution. The glory should always go to the church. The hope of the world is not our Christian schools. The hope of the world is not the government. The hope of the world is not one preacher. The hope of the world is not you fill in the blank. The hope of the world is in the local churches doing the work of the church. Because it's only in the local church, the church of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is proclaimed, the gospel is obeyed, and that the lost can hear the saving message. It's up to the church. And may all glory be to the church in Jesus Christ. And so, remember where the glory goes. If you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel, don't delay. This morning, the baptistry is prepared. Don't put off giving your life to Christ. We're thankful for all those who have done that. Let us be thankful for one more. If you need to rededicate your life this morning, come as together we stand and sing.
God is so good. God is so good.